Inanna the Priestess, Part 2, from the book The Return of the Sexual Priestess by Jennifer Posada. You can find out more and hear the rest of this story at jenniferposada.com/Inanna. The day I left for Muru, my parents packed all the things that belonged to me. 3 furs, 2 clay jars, small clay bowls made for my birth, a necklace made by an aunt in honor too of my birth, an aunt I never met, and a necklace that belonged to my grandmother who I also never knew. An older man from the village told me once that she had had the powers, my mother's mother. But there was some disgrace in that she had left the temple, and my parents never spoke of her. Perhaps they knew I might end up following in her footsteps if I had known there was another path. I also had a necklace I made from shells I found at the river. They came from a special place in the banks that had layers of silt, and were believed to come from a time when the ancient sea rose to that level. People were superstitious about the stories of that sea and were visibly upset to see me in the necklace of the shells, which they believed to be bad luck. So I kept this necklace secret in a folded part I sewed into my robe dress, and I knew that it was indeed more precious than all the more beautiful necklaces handed down to me of cherished stones. All of them could tell me stories, but the shells told the oldest stories of all. The shells told me that where the ocean once flowed, there was a forgotten land of beauty, covered by water and still hidden when the water had finally retreated again. Sometimes I would have dreams of this land, dreams themselves blurred as if beneath waters. There were so many things I didn't understand yet, until my body showed me. I would have arrived more fully at my body sooner if I had stayed with my teachers from nature. But by the age of 7, more was expected of me at home, and by the age of 14, I was on a cart with my few possessions, leaving behind all I had known. The day I left, I saw, for the first time, my mother struggle to let me go. Just a flash in her eyes before her determination hardened again. She directed that resolve into the movement of pressing something from her clasped hand into mine. She pressed the piece of lapis into my palm and told me to follow every rule, to learn every verse and every song and sing them as pleasingly as possible. She told me to be molded by the hands of my mentors and those with authority in the temple. She said they had reached their posts by gaining wisdom, knowledge, and power, and that I could follow in their footsteps only if I allowed and followed their every edict. She told me I did not know the way and could not trust my own senses, that my only chance in this life to, quote, attain the great wisdom was to never deviate from the course charted for me by those who knew the righteous way, and that as a woman, attaining or striving to attain the great wisdom was my only hope of redemption, blessing my family in the heavenly realms, as I would not bless them in this life with housework or children. She reminded me that women deemed unfit for the temple were looked down upon and allowed to perform the most menial of tasks only, living the life of the nearly enslaved and ashamed to their family. Do right by us, Inanna, or you will do wrong by all living things. In her eyes, I saw the pain. I knew it was guiding her as it had guided her those who hurt her, and those who hurt them before. I saw the line stretching back, but I had no guide yet to shorten my path to my true gifts, except for my time in nature, which had been encroached upon by the expectations of growing older. By the time I was 9, I knew all the basic chants, but I repeated them looking through a doorway at the light glinting off the leaves, knowing the leaves knew the real secrets.